Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 14. In today's episode, I chat with Matthew Dunstan, author of the recently published The Coworking Revolution, Four Secrets to Successfully Working for Yourself. Matthew spoke at Juicy Australia, and I wanted to share his story and to have someone on the show with an Australian accent, which never hurts. I read Matthew's book on a recent flight and was really struck at the time by his perspective on the problems that coworking solves. And I have to say that since our interview, I can't stop thinking about his ideas. We talk a lot in the coworking world about this idea of serendipitous interactions. The idea that if you collide with enough people, you'll make connections that otherwise never would have presented themselves. And these connections should help you both personally and professionally. And the thing I love about Matthew's value proposition for coworking is that he's suggesting that hope is not a strategy. I read that book some time ago and I love that title. And it's really making me think about what we're doing in coworking spaces to facilitate more than just lucky conversations at member events. I know you'll enjoy our conversation, but I also highly recommend his book. You can get all the links to his book and his website in the show notes at www.everythingcoworking.com/14. I hope you enjoy the show. Matt, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate your time, especially since it's early for you in Brisbane, Australia.
Yeah, no problem. Great to join you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I discovered Matt through, I think, the agenda and some social media posts for Juicy Australia. He is down there and attended and recently published a book on coworking. So I reached out to him and asked if he would be willing to chat, and he very kindly responded with a yes.
Yes, here we are.
So yeah, there are not very many books out there on coworking, so I'm excited to have this conversation and share a little bit about the book. I read the book myself, and so we'll hope others do the same. Well, let's get started. So you're a coach. I'll let you talk a little bit about what you do. So you're a coach. You started working from home. You had some challenges with that and discovered co-working and were so passionate about it that you decided to write a book about it, which I love. And every little bit of raising awareness for the co-working movement certainly helps. So I'll let you talk a little bit about that and then we'll jump into our questions. So just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So let me start with the personal, you know, kind of side. So I'm a very proud father of two young boys. Well, I guess they're getting older these days. So they're 13 and 14. You know, we live in Australia, although I traveled quite a lot. I lived overseas in England for a while. And I guess from a professional point of view, you know, I started my professional life in marketing and then moved into the IT industry and then into broader kind of management roles. And so worked around, small local companies, worked for very large companies. I worked for Microsoft for almost 10 years. I even did a little bit of lecturing during that time. So one of the prominent business schools here in Australia is the Australian Graduate School of Management. And that's where I did some of my formal education. And I went back and I lectured for them for 5 years. So a fairly diverse background, but always around, I guess, a couple of key streams, always around innovation, marketing, and business strategy, which I guess is a bit of an interest and a hobby of mine.
Awesome. And you are a passionate coworker, so you're a pretty public guy. You speak, you write, you do some coaching, so people probably know a little bit more about you than they might the average guy. But what's something about you that we would not find out about you if we were just chatting you up at the coffee bar at your co-working space?
Yeah, sure. Well, I do have, this alter ego, this other life, where I'm a swimming coach and I teach children, you know, primary school age children, sort of age 3 to age 12, how to swim. Mm. In fact, that's a, a business that my wife and I started when we got back from our sailing trip. And, you know, that always surprises people. So people who know me in a professional context, they hear that I'm in the water and I'm teaching three-year-olds, and they go, really? And then the people who know me in that, you know, my local community who see me in the pool, they then, you know, might see a photo of me with a suit on or
right.
You know, publicity around the book, and they're going, what? But you're supposed to be in the pool. You're the pool guy. So it's, yeah, but I love that. I love that balance. For me, it's, you know, a little bit of left brain, right brain, or, you know, kind of teaching swimming is the complete opposite of, you know, kind of growing business, if you like, or anything to do with strategy. And I just love it. Kids have a very simple outlook on life. And, you know, being in the pool and teaching kids to swim is a great antidote to a bad day. They just, you know, pools are a fun place to be, and you just can't help but get caught up in that enthusiasm.
Yeah, I have a 3.5-year-old that could use some swimming lessons. So I wish we were closer. But yeah, they, to your point, they're definitely an antidote to any problem that you think you have in the world. They can certainly kind of offset that and bring your mind to happier places.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they have a very simple and pure view on the world. And I think we can probably learn a lot from that.
Yeah. So you worked for Microsoft for 10 years, which is one of the most corporate of corporate America. And you decided to sail around the world with your family. And on that trip, you decided to start your own journey as an entrepreneur. Can you share a little bit about that time period and, you know, what business were you setting out to start? And is that the path that you're still on?
Yeah, well, no, it probably did change, you know, as all of our entrepreneurial journeys do. One of the big things that went on for me, you know, in that transition from Microsoft, you know, kind of to this completely unplugged life in sailing was, I guess I probably had a bit of a yearning to get back to, you know, a little more meaning in business, if you like. You know, I was always asking, okay, but what's really important here? Why are we doing what we're doing? You know, what are we accomplishing? What needs to be accomplished? And then when we were on this trip, we spent a lot of time in communities outside of big cities, you know, small islands, regional, you know, kind of communities in Europe and places like that. And one of the things that was really interesting for me to, you know, kind of observe and study was these people were universally happy without all of the things that we chase, you know, without climbing the corporate ladder, without acquiring the bigger house or the newer car or, and a lot of these places, people were, you know, we would call them poor, but they were much happier, was our observation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because they really emphasized the value of relationships and community and extended family and coming together in these community settings. You know, I remember one time, for example, we were anchored off a little town on the coast of Spain, and, you know, some local people kind of invited us ashore, and all of a sudden it's 11 o'clock at night and the whole community's come together for an impromptu, you know, kind of concert, festival, dance, and nothing so, you know, planned or elaborate, but just everybody came together. It was such a lovely thing to be a part of. And we saw examples of that all the time. And I guess out of that, you know, we really had this appreciation for the value of community and noticed that that's generally missing, I think, in, you know, kind of more modern Western cultures. So coming back to Brisbane, we were really interested to apply, you know, just the entrepreneurial mindset or the business mindset to how do we restitch communities back together. And, you know, in part the swimming schools came out of that. That's a one particular type of community. But also, you know, when I came back, I had this real empathy for people who, you know, work for themselves. And just seeing everybody, you know, stuck in their home office and thinking, well, hang on, here's a group of people who would really benefit from community. How can we bring all those people together? And co-working is just the natural answer to that.
Yeah, and before we go any further, can you tell us a little bit about your book, title and where we can find it besides Amazon, which is where I downloaded it?
Yeah, of course. So the book is called The Coworking Revolution, Four Secrets to Successfully Working for Yourself. And it's available in paperback on Amazon or on Kindle. And people can also download an ebook from my website.
Perfect. So you, our audience loves to talk about serendipity, and your book talks about a dinner you and your wife went to celebrate your decision to be an entrepreneur. And you talked about creating a business around sailing, and you were at dinner with champagne and met a couple of other people in sailing related careers, and you know, yes, sort of seeing the serendipity there. Can you talk about sort of that experience and then, you know, how you see that playing out in co-working spaces?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so it was a funny story. You know, one of my aspirations when we came back from our sailing trip was, I've always loved teaching, and I have this real passion for sailing. And so I thought, you know, how can I, you know, kind of bring those together and create a business around that? And so I had this aspiration to become a sailing coach and to run an adventure sailing business. We still had our boat. It was anchored over in the Mediterranean. And I just recently left, a contract that I'd taken on. I was running a small cloud computing business for a little while. And I just left that, and we sat down at this table. And lo and behold, either side of us was a guy who ran a sailing school who was talking about how hard it is for him to find sailing instructors.
Oh.
and a guy on the other side of me who runs a sailing adventure business, but he only does it for 6 weeks of the year because he runs other businesses at other times. And I'm sitting there, and this is literally the same day that I, you know, finished this other contract. And my wife and I are just going, wow, sometimes, you know, the universe speaks very quietly, but sometimes the universe speaks loudly.
At you.
Yeah. And so, you know, straight off the back of that, 6 weeks later, I was a sailing instructor, and I'd launched a business called Uncharted Sailing Adventures and was taking people sailing around the Mediterranean.
Wow. So yeah, you had a little bit of an interesting journey, but yeah, I love that serendipity example. And that's, you know, we talk about that happening at co-working spaces, and to your point, sort of the universe, maybe we see it speaking a little bit more softly at our co-working spaces, but frequently, you know, those interactions can happen all the time, because it's kind of like sitting down next to somebody at dinner. You're sitting down next to new people, you know, potentially every day, which is something you're certainly not doing at home.
That's right. Yeah. It's one of my mentors has got a great saying for this. He says, big doors open on small hinges.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just really talks to, you know, this need to be out and interacting with people. And sometimes you've got to be open to opportunities that just aren't obvious, you know, at the time. But, you know, you engage with people, you know, you help them where you can, and, you know, things start to unfold. And you can't plan for it, which is really annoying for those of us who are very planning centric. You know, you can't, you know, put these things on a to-do list. Today I must, you know, have serendipitous conversations with five people. But at the same time, it's not happening on your own. You actually need to be out in the world. And I think one of the big challenges that a lot of people face, you know, because co-working is still it's a growing phenomenon, but it's still quite new for a lot of people, is they try and get this interaction at the local coffee shop, and it's not the same, because it needs to be serendipitous conversations in a professional context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it needs to be with other people who are running businesses and trying to do things as well. So, yeah, co-working spaces, co-working communities are a great way to, you know, open some of those bigger doors.
Yeah, and I mentioned this on some of my other interviews, but I love to repeat this one. Is the other reason I think that serendipitous interactions happen is because it's such a natural environment. Like, to your point, in a coffee shop, there's a little bit more force to try to interact with people around you, because that's not really why people are there, and there's no sort of connecting force. You don't share a membership, you just share the fact that you each bought a latte and are using the free Wi-Fi. And then or people try to go to networking events, and those are also much more just unnatural. You know, you're going to get into pretty surface conversations. You're not going to really understand, you know, what might be keeping somebody up at night, which is something you might get into in a co-working space because, you know, the people that are surrounding you are trying to, you know, accomplish some of the same things you are in, are in more similar situations. So your conversations probably start at a more intimate level than you can get to in most places.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think one of the challenges that people do have, though, so, you know, on one hand, it's great for us to talk about serendipitous conversations and, hey, let's go co-working and it all happens. But there is a risk, I think, that a lot of people struggle with, which is, you know, what's the balance between being open to serendipity versus, you know, maybe wasting a lot of time with more random conversations or conversations that don't go anywhere, or, you know, one of the dangers that you can get into a little bit is, you know, kind of giving a lot of your time and energy and passion to help other people, but maybe at your own expense. And that's I don't think that's an easy answer to that, but, you know, just to maybe for a balanced perspective, there are definitely two sides to the coin, aren't there?
No, I think you're right. And it's interesting. You talk about this in your book, which is a really practical issue that I see often is, you know, you talk about finding a co-working space that's right for you and visiting them and understanding the vibe. And you talk about how some are really quiet, you know, and it tends to be more of a place to get work done. And then some of them are more interactive. And I think, like sort of what you were just saying is, I think we tend to think the quiet ones are less appealing because there's less interaction, but people are probably getting a lot done. and then the more interactive ones, to your point, you sort of have to figure out how to strike that balance and send the right signals when you're trying to get things done so that people aren't interrupting you and, you know, you're meeting the right people, to your point, that might be kind of a match versus, going down kind of the wrong wormhole. So. Yeah. Yep, new problems when you're surrounding yourself with people. Well, I guess the same thing could happen with coworkers in a big company. So it's not necessarily a new problem, but always no perfect answer for how to manage that.
No. Although I do think part of the answer is, you know, when you're talking to people, if you're able to share what it is that you're trying to get done, that helps. You know, people can help you if you're very clear about the sort of help that you want.
Yeah, right.
And that requires going past the, you know, the polite water cooler conversation about, you know, how are you today, or great, how are the kids, you know, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
You know, we do need to get past that polite social layer of conversation into what are you trying to get done right now. And I love it when I see groups of coworkers, you know, get into that more task-focused, you know, level of conversation.
We had a happy hour last week and a couple people, you know, casual beers and, you know, there's a good little group of people participating. And I was talking to a couple of guys and just this great experience where I can't remember how we got into it. We got into it pretty quickly. They were talking about I had seen one of the guys interviewing a woman. And I said, hey, did you end up interviewing, you know, the woman? I think he was interviewing her in the kitchen because the conference room was busy and I had opened up the conference room for him so he could move his interview in there. And I said, hey, you know, did you end up interviewing that woman that you started interviewing in the kitchen? And he and went on to share what a challenge they have as a software company hiring females. And the guy standing next to us said, you know, same thing. And they started talking about what their strategies are and some of the things they've put in place to really move towards that goal. And, you know, it's pretty quickly after they had, you know, grabbed a beer, they're getting into a pretty serious discussion. And I loved it because it's social yet really productive.
Yeah, completely. And you know, it's one of the things that I talk about in the book, but I think there's a great opportunity for us to set up, you know, these more formal teams of people who are actually helping one another with business. And, you know, when you start to talk about, you know, real things that you're trying to get done, then, I don't know, it's a little bit like, you know, if you ask the universe for something specific, well, then, you know, it tends to turn up. And do you know what? Maybe if you ask your coworkers for something specific, then, you know, that help will probably turn up too.
Yeah, clarity is such a big big piece, which can be hard to get at home. So you, I mean, you talk about this in your book, but you left corporate America, started working at home in your spare room, and you encountered a few challenges. And I love in your book, you really kind of detail them and walk through this aha of realizing that you needed to get out of the house. How did you find co-working? And then this is kind of a double question, but you talk about the four things that you saw as lacking sort of in the company of you versus the corporation that you felt like could be created through co-working. So can you kind of talk about those, your journey into finding co-working, and then the four things that you think can be solved through co-working?
Yeah, well, it's you know, so my journey into co-working, it's a very common one, I think, or my journey rather for looking for people other than myself is a common one that you hear quite a lot. You know, I remember I'd hung out the shingle and said, okay, great, now it's time to, you know, launch Matthew Dunstan, you know, 2.0 or whatever it was going to be. And, you know, when you're starting a business, you have all of this energy and passion and excitement, you know, and you wake up early and you're energized and you're doing all of these things. And that was great. And I'm super productive and I'm powering them all through all these things on day one. And day two, you know, comes by and I'm, you know, really going for it. And I think I got to about day three and I'm sitting there and I'm going, hey, where are all the people? I'm putting all of these ideas out there and none of this energy is bouncing back, you know. And it's real. I found it really hard to keep myself, you know, motivated, keep my motivation up, because you've just got no one to bounce off.
Yeah.
You know, whereas when you are around people, you know, that enthusiasm and that excitement and energy is contagious. You know, they get it and then they dial it up and they bounce it back to you. And it doesn't happen when you're on your own.
No.
And you know, I always regard myself as, you know, someone who does need some time on their own to get things done. I always thought of myself as a little bit of an introvert. But, you know, even introverts still need, you know, kind of contact with other people. And so, like a lot of people, I went to my local coffee shop and I thought, right, okay, I've got to get out of these four walls. I needed a new scene. I just need to, you know, stand up, move around, speak to other people, just be in the company of others. Went to the coffee shop, saw a few other people sitting there on their laptops doing some work, but we still weren't interacting. And I thought to myself, okay, well, there needs to be more, okay? So we've got all these people spread in coffee shops all over the city. Why don't we just bring everybody together so that, you know, we're all searching for a social outlet. Well, let's just create one. And co-working is, you know, obviously the easier answer to that. And I think as more and more people begin to co-work, you know, that'll become a standard part of their work practice. Even if they do work from home for periods of the week, they'll use a co-working space to come together and you know, take advantage of those other things.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us about your search for a co-working space, and we have to give a shout out to the space where you're a member.
Yeah, of course. Well, look, it's interesting. So the in my own search for a co-working space, I was looking for different things on different days. And so I actually am a member at a couple of different co-working spaces. I have one which is, you know, kind of where I go to actually get work done. You know, Gravity Co-work is, you know, kind of a quieter, more professional sort of environment. And when I'm doing work with my corporate clients, it's a great place to bring them to. But then I also work quite a lot with another co-working space called Little Tokyo 2. And it's a much more casual freelancer sort of environment. So a little bit noisier, a little more interactive, not great for productivity. So if I need to get things done, you know, I might not necessarily be there for a long period of time. But, you know, it's great to have, for me personally, a portfolio of places that I go. And, you know, that's not to mean that everybody needs multiple co-working spaces, but, you know, if working from home suits you, great. I know a guy, for example, he has a portfolio and his portfolio is home. He works at a library and he works at a formal co-working space and he likes to mix those up. I love to work outdoors whenever I can.
Mm.
So, you know, for me, going down to the sailing club and working is a great place. And I just, you know, I get so much creativity from being outdoors. So it's a really good place for me to go when I'm, you know, kind of doing creative work rather than productive work. And I still love the coffee shop. There's a nice atmosphere there about starting the day in a coffee shop sometimes. So, you know, it's great to have that portfolio.
I think we're at such a neat stage, and it's kind of funny that it's taken, well, I guess there's a lot of pieces of bringing this puzzle together, but we're at this point where people are learning exactly what you're seeing about, you know, what are sort of the optimal environments in which they can work. And we've spent so many years, most of us, you know, having someone dictate where we go. And even that environment looks, you know, has looked pretty much the same, some cubicles, some offices, and some shared space. And now all of a sudden, you know, we're at this point where we get to choose where we work, and we're learning that, you know, that's not the same all the time. First, there's that assumption that it's at home. And then once you start venturing out from home and you discover co-working and you start to think about where you work best at any given time, and you can really learn about a lot about how to optimize that. And I think it's just a neat point. I think we'll all get a lot of satisfaction about that discovery process and finding the spaces that work for us. And I think the idea of even the portfolio of co-working spaces is really neat. It's still early in the movement, but that's one of the trends that I think we'll get into. And you and I talked a little bit about this in the introduction, but in our off recording introduction. But the idea that in the future there will be spaces that are really geographically convenient for everyone. So it'll be kind of like the gym. Like, the expectation is not that you're going to drive 20 minutes to, you know, go to work. You wouldn't drive 20 minutes to work out. And that, right, you can pick which option works for you. Like, you might be a golf club member. You might be a member at, you know, the Equinox down the street, and sort of fit different needs. And just like that, you might have different places that you belong to for work, just like you do. So, I think it's just a really neat time.
And I think one of the, one of the challenges that a lot of people have is, you know, just how do they start their day? You know, that's a, you know, how do you get that first, you know, burst of motivation that then sets the rest of the day up for, you know, kind of getting some good work done? And that's going to be different for different people, and even, you know, depending on, you know, kind of how you feel on a particular day. But, you know, do you need to start social? Do you need to start being productive? I know some people, they like to schedule their first client meetings for first up in the morning, just to force them out the door and into a productive mindset.
Really into their A game right off the bat.
Exactly. And then the rest of their day, you know, kind of continues along like that. And, you know, I think just understanding what sort of person you are, what sort of rhythm you're in, you know, from 1 week to the next, and having a portfolio of options for that is just a really smart way to go, because it's without it, if you're in the wrong place to start the day, it can be pretty hard to, you know, kind of pick yourself up later and get focused and down to work.
Totally. You know, and I think the thing that's sort of interesting about this time is that it seems like sort of obvious, but I think people need some coaching and some frameworks to help them think about these things. Because it's not, if you haven't done it before, if you haven't worked for yourself, you know, and somebody's been telling you where to go, we aren't used to just thinking about things in that way. So that's one of the things I got out of your book, is you talk a lot about, right, starting your day and routines around that. And then, so let's jump in. You don't have to go into detail because we don't want to spoil the book, but you talk about four things that you feel like, you know, sort of you lack if you're working for yourself versus a big company, and how co-working can help with those. Talk a little bit about what those are.
Yeah. And maybe just before I do, the story about, you know, how I came about those four things is quite an interesting one as well. I'd had a particularly tough week, like we all do. And so I got to one Sunday afternoon and thought, I'm not quite ready to go back and get a job. But, man, you know, if last week is how I'm going to judge
another one of those.
Yeah. Then, you know, I'm not having as much fun as I used to. So, you know, what's the difference? And I just did this little, it started out as a blog that I was writing, or I was drafting, which was comparing self-employment versus being an employee. Mm. And I was really interested to explore the questions of, well, what are the very best things about being an employee? Because, I mean, it's not all bad, right? Yep. There are many more people who are employees right. than who are self-employed. And, you know, I think one of the traps that we get into is we kind of thumb our nose a little bit as entrepreneurs, saying, oh, yes, you know, we would never be an employee. But there are some great aspects of being an employee. And, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, you know, the opportunity is to take those best things that exist on that side of the fence and bring it into our own organization. And that's really the premise behind the book. And so on this Sunday afternoon when I was, you know, giving myself some counseling and maybe a stiff drink, I came up with four things that I thought were great, particularly, you know, during my career at Microsoft, that I thought were missing for me, you know, as a self-employed person. The first was the water cooler conversations, you know, just that professional social interaction, you know, just the joy that you would get during the day, walking in and saying good morning to people that you liked, sitting down and having lunch with people who you enjoyed their company with, you know, celebrating birthdays, all of those sorts of mm-hmm. social occasions, which don't exist in the company of one. You know, there's no blowing out the candles and singing happy birthday mm-hmm. to yourself. It doesn't happen, you know, when you're in your home office. And so obviously a co-working space is a great way to, you know, fulfill that social need. The second piece that was missing was just being productive, you know, the productive workspace. And I'm pretty lucky. I've got a great home office and I've set it up, you know, in a way that is very productive. But there are a lot of people out there who, you know, are sharing a kitchen table, mm-hmm. You know, or sharing a room, or, you know, they've got to do something else. And there are a lot of distractions. And, you know, even if you do have a great home office, there are still a lot of distractions, particularly around school holiday time. You know, you've got a lot of distractions in the background. You can have the door closed, but, you know, the kids are still going to open it and walk through because they've got some vital question that they need right. to ask. And so, you know, having a productive place to go and get work done is really important, because one of the big issues that a lot of people, you know, cite about working from home is just, you know, they're nowhere near as productive. You know, they spend a lot of time, you know, being distracted by the laundry or, you know, whatever else it is that it might do. For me, I was drinking way too much coffee at home. You know, I mean, that was my procrastination, you know, technique. I would stand up, make a coffee, and then come back and do 10 minutes work. And then I'd go, maybe I'll think about this over another coffee. And so, you know, and I do that all day. The third piece that's missing is the teamwork. And I think, you know, there's a great opportunity out there for us to collaborate, you know, in a more structured way. So, you know, think again back in an organization, you've got this separation of responsibilities or tasks. You know, you've got someone who's a specialist in marketing. You've got people who are specialists in sales, people who are, you know, finance and accounting people. You have, you know, all IT people, you know, all of these people who kind of come together to make the whole machine work, you know, as smoothly as it can. We just don't have that opportunity to collaborate with people, particularly, you know, if we're trying to, you know, compete for a piece of work or we're developing something new. You know, people often say that they crave being able to bounce ideas off other people and just get a sanity test on, you know, is what I'm doing, does that make sense? You know, do you have any other ideas? How do I make my product or service better? Mm-hmm. And one of the great opportunities, I think, is for us as co-workers, as individuals or as micro-businesses, to come together and form a larger, you know, partnership or collaboration and go and compete for bigger pieces of work. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I find really interesting is the people who do go out and work for themselves often are, you know, very talented, educated, professional, well-experienced people. And, you know, in their prior career, probably, you know, we're responsible for large pieces of business and big deals. But then now that they've come back to, you know, a business of one, they've had to leave all of that opportunity off the table. And I think there's a great opportunity for us to, you know, let's rebuild the team around the individual and get back to that, you know, to that commercial table and compete for bigger pieces of business, you know, win some bigger deals together. And, you know, I love the idea of co-working spaces being the place that you just naturally meet these sorts of people who you might collaborate with. So, you know, great opportunity there. And then the fourth one, which was a bit of a surprise for me when I realized it, was I think we miss a manager when we work for ourselves. You know, most people can recall a manager that they really loved, you know, during their career, someone who, you know, was really inspiring, taught them a lot of things, helped them grow, you know, personally and professionally, sometimes gave us a kick up the bum, you know, if we weren't meeting our own expectations, and gave us that little bit of direction and leadership. You know, it's really hard to keep direction and leadership and personal accountability when you're on your own. It's that whole, how do I see the forest for the trees? You're way too close to it. And it doesn't matter how good you are. I'm a firm believer that you always need someone who's outside of the business giving you, you know, that perspective and a bit of advice. So I'm a big believer in mentoring, for example. I have two mentors myself, and you know, I love this idea of creating these advisory groups or, you know, some sort of accountability group around people just to you know, kind of focus their efforts and drive the business forward. Because one of the things that you know, comes up a lot is it's great to be social, but at the end of the day, more customers solves a lot of problems.
Right.
And you know, and conversely, it's possible to be social but broke.
Right.
So turning up and being social at a co-working space, you know, kind of solves part of the problem, but maybe not the core problem. And the way to grow a business, the way to, you know, kind of take your business forward and progress is to hold yourself accountable to things that are going to progress your business. And that, you know, for me, progress and accountability go hand in hand. And that's a huge gaping hole that I see that most people suffer from. You know, they're doing everything they can, but they lack the perspective maybe just to channel that energy in a direction that kind of walks them forward each week. Because the reality is a lot of people would find that, you know, weeks go by and, you know, they pop their head back up and they go, oh, I actually haven't made any progress on that thing that I got distracted for all the right reasons, of course, but, you know, we still got distracted and we still haven't made any progress.
Yeah, I found that piece, that insight on that last one about the manager, it's interesting because I think you're right. We often think, you know, the manager is exactly the reason why we like to work for ourselves, not having a boss, but they fill a role that we need. And I can personally absolutely relate to everything you described around the benefits of having that accountability. And I think you're right. Probably 99% of people who work for themselves, that's one of their biggest struggles is, am I focusing on the right thing? And is somebody keeping me on track? And, you know, back to your earlier point, who do I sort of bouncing these things off of to make sure I'm pursuing the right ideas.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, it's a real struggle. You can't get that on your own. So, right. So you have a mentor or a coach. But your book was really inspiring. I mean, I think especially for me, we talk a lot about, so I think co-working spaces are on this path of getting the space right, which I think is even relatively new. So making sure you have the right environments in which people want to work and are healthy and ergonomically correct and really facilitate different types of work, which people are really just learning and getting that right. And then the next thing we talk about is community. You know, but what is right? What does that mean aside from being social and referring work here and there and sort of bouncing things off? And I was really inspired by that idea. And I think kind of where you're going is how do we maybe formalize that or look for opportunities to create frameworks that people could use to develop more maybe structure even around making some of those things available.
Yeah, completely. And, you know, one of the structures that I guess I borrowed from my time at Microsoft is we had a very structured process around personal accountability. You know, their work culture is, you know, not to manage the task, but to kind of manage the outcome.
Yeah.
And what that meant was, you know, we didn't have managers day to day, you know, asking what we were doing or looking at what time you came to work or anything like that. But, you know, the time that it worked best was when we had a manager who said, okay, well, just tell me, you know, what are the big rocks that you need to work on this week?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the following week, just reporting back saying, okay, well, you know, how did that go? You know, would you traffic light it for me? You know, green light, amber light, or red light? And do you need any help, you know, kind of on the red stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it was, you know, a great model to then bring back into, you know, that co-working community where you've got the same people who have the same needs. And so one of the things that we kicked off last year, for example, was an accountability group where, you know, I went and tapped a few people on the shoulder. We kept it nice and small, but we would meet, you know, weekly, either in person or online, and you know, just kind of have that process where we would, you know, share what we needed to get done that week. And there was a bit of feedback even, you know, between the group to say, look, you know, based on what I know about you and your business, maybe there's something else you need to put on that list or you need to swap in and out. So great to have that perspective. But then also having to report back and say, okay, well, I said that these three things were going to be important and actually I only got to one of them. And, you know, I'm struggling with these other two. And so then people, again, you know, can chime in and help.
Yeah. And like you said, the value is it just having someone who's not in your business. And if you don't have a team in your business or even the right people to think about those types of things, it can be hugely valuable. And also, if you're helping each other, it can also be free. Because I think another struggle is you can hire a coach or you can do some of those things, but those things, you know, can be expensive. And yeah, but I always laugh, right? You know, the last time I was talking to one of my members who does marketing strategy, and I was telling him, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm struggling a little bit with my marketing. I said, I could probably sit down and tell you exactly what you should do for your marketing strategy. You know, it's not that I don't know marketing, but because it's my business, you know, I need someone else to look at it for me because, yeah, I'm way too close. And
we all suffer from that.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I love that concept and I love that piece of your book.
Yeah.
So last question, you give a few tips in the book about figuring out what type of coworker you want to be and finding the right space for you. Can you share a couple of tips with us?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, it's interesting. I think co-working spaces have a culture, you know, like organizations do.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way that, you know, it's a good idea to, if you're going to be an employee, you want to see if it's a culture that, you know, fits with you. You don't want to go and join an organization where there's just a cultural, you know, kind of misfit. And the same applies to a culture of a co-working environment. So, you know, go along and try a few is really the only way you can do it. You know, sit down, you know, talk to people, get a feel for what it's like there. You know, is it productive? Is it noisy? Is it different on different days? You know, and also what are some of the other skills and resources around you and the other people who are co-working? You know, are they a lot of freelancers? Are they more professional types? Is it a blend of all of those things? And depending on, you know, sort of the person that you are, you know, whether you're very extroverted, whether you're, you know, whether you need it for productivity or, you know, more for the social outlet, I think, you know, you tend to find a place where you feel comfortable and where you can get work done. And so, you know, the short answer is go and try a few and then land in the one that feels right. And that might change too over time, you know, is the reality. What you need, you know, in the first half of the year might be different to what you need in the second half of the year. And that's okay too. But just understanding what they are and what your options are is a great way to, you know, start to explore it.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for your time today. I just want to remind people. So we'll have all of the details of what we talked about today, including links to Matthew's book in the show notes at www.everythingcoworking.com/14. Matthew's book is The Coworking Revolution, 4 Secrets to Successfully Working for Yourself, and you can find that on Amazon. And Matthew, thank you so much for sharing your time and your perspective today. And I highly recommend the book to anybody who is working for themselves, whether they're interested in co-working or not. I think it's a good learning opportunity to think about how maybe to better optimize their situation.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks, Matthew. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.